Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And that was the big halftime show during the Brian Lehrer show today. Madonna has nothing on Richard Haight, don't you think? And we'll be talking about that halftime commercial, Halftime in America, with Clint Eastwood, that has started such a political and cultural conversation in the country since it ran just to promote Chrysler cars during the Super Bowl. We'll do that later in the hour. Right now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a federal court, struck down California's Proposition 8 referendum ban on same-sex marriage yesterday, a state referendum. Judge Stephen Reinhart wrote in the opinion that Prop 8 serves no purpose and has no effect other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California. Now, while that decision did find the ban unconstitutional, the case may or may not be accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court if appealed, and may or may not affect Governor Christie's proposal for a marriage referendum in New Jersey. So let's talk about it with Slate senior editor Dahlia Lithwick, who covers the courts. She wrote about it on Slate.com. Hey, Dahlia, welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for having me.
First of all, how does a state referendum get ruled unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution?
Well, this was, it's really important to, it's probably worth going back and looking at the sort of bump of how this all happens, because it is incredibly confusing. But the very first thing that happens is in 2008, the California Supreme Court rules that their constitution prohibits limiting marriage to heterosexual couples, right? Mm-hmm. 18,000 couples go out and get married in California in this window until November 2008, where the voters of California, 48% margin, enact Prop 8. So really the issue is for the court not what happens in any other state in the union, but what happens in a state where, and Reinhart is really clear about this, you give a benefit to the citizens of that state and then you take it away. This doesn't speak to any other state. In some sense, this is almost a Bush v. Gore decision, because it really is about what it means to citizens to be given a benefit and then to have it retracted. And so I think, you know, for just the global question of what does this mean in, you know, Washington State? What does it mean in Maryland? What does it mean in New Jersey? It's really important to read Reinhart as saying what I think he is saying for the two judges in the majority here, which is this is only about states that do what California did,
This is not to tell any other state that they must, under the U.S. Constitution, enact a same-sex marriage law. But it is to say that once California had it in its state constitution, the voters just can't get together an initiative and referendum and take it away, especially when there are lots of married couples already there legally under the law, correct?
Correct, with the added gloss that it so happens that in California, because California had been incredibly generous to same-sex partners, allowing them by law to adopt together, to foster together, to have all the tax benefits of being same-sex couples, that it is specifically in California doubly awful to take it away when all of the consequences of, you know, banning gay marriage, we do it because it protects children, we do it for religious reasons, we do it reasons having to do with how we educate our children. All of those reasons look awfully specious when, under California law, even prior to Prop 8, even prior to the Supreme Court's granting of same-sex marriage rights, all of those outcomes would have accrued anyway to gay couples. So it's a sort of double down. It's both that it's given and taken away, but also that it just so happens that same-sex partners could have done everything but use the word marriage, and that is very, very offensive to the Court of Appeals.
And where in the Constitution does it say all this?
Well, you know, one of the fights that we're having here is whether, you know, states can determine civil rights issues, whether by referendum states can put to a vote, right? This is the fight we're having in New Jersey, too, is that does the Constitution, where it says things like equal protection of the law or due process of the law, does that enshrine concrete constitutional values, or is it just words? And it so happens that we believe, I think largely Americans believe, that if the Constitution enshrines certain values, like the idea that due process of the law might mean, as the lower court judge in this case said, as Judge Von Walker said in August of 2010, that marriage is a fundamental right, then there is some question about whether you can ask citizens to vote on that. Now, I want to be really clear, Brian, that issue, is marriage a fundamental right, that issue was not taken up by the Court of Appeals yesterday. They expressly stepped around that question. But they did step into the question of, does equal protection of the law, whatever that means in the Constitution, mean that you can treat one class of citizens as inferior? They did take up that question, and at least for purposes of California, they said, you don't get to put this up to referendum, treating some class of people as inferior, because the Constitution bans it.
And yet, you write in your article on Slate that the most liberal judges in the most liberal state could have made history. Instead, they opted for much less. So you find this ruling too narrow?
Well, I don't find it too narrow. I find it, the more I think about it, incredibly canny. You know, you have to look at it this in the context of, this is Judge Stephen Reinhardt. This is arguably the most liberal human in America, right? Like, if we weren't talking about Saul Alinsky right now, we would be talking about Stephen Reinhardt. And he is on the most liberal court in America. So here is a guy in California who has been waiting his whole entire life, I suggest, to write a really full-throated endorsement of gay rights. That was the opinion that was handed up to him by Judge Von Walker in San Francisco, who said, here is, under both the Due Process Clause of the Constitution and the Equal Process
Equal Protection
Clause of the Constitution, a rank violation of constitutional rights, and yet Judge Reinhardt doesn't go there. Judge Reinhardt writes this incredibly skinny little opinion that says, look, Justice Kennedy, who is, I think we can agree, the deciding vote on this issue when it gets to the Supreme Court, this isn't about fundamental rights to marriage. This isn't about, you know, Loving versus Virginia. This is about a gay, anti-gay animus that led California voters to take away a right that they had given before. So it seems to me that he was saying, if the alternative is to hand the court a decision that they will overturn, I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to hand them a decision that is almost impossible to overturn.
So does Dahlia Lithwick, the legal pundit, think that canny decision will be successful at that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here. There are the defense of marriage cases, which a lot of, I think, folks who are in the gay marriage camp think are a better vehicle for the court to take. I think this nets out, and again, this is the kind of spitballing I hate to do, Brian. I think this nets out to be slightly less likely that the court will take it because of the narrowness of the decision. And I should add that David Boies, one of the two attorneys who won this case, made this point yesterday in a press conference, that it makes that the narrowness makes the court slightly less inclined to take it. But I think the narrowness makes it much, much harder for the court to overturn.
David Boies, wasn't he Gore's attorney in Bush versus Gore?
Well, that's the sort of beautiful, poetic part of this case from the get-go, is that you have Ted Olson, right, who is the winning side
the Bush
of Bush
attorney
v. Gore.
In that case, yes.
And then David Boies, who's the Gore side of Bush v. Gore, and they join forces and swoop into this California litigation and do, by the way, the most masterful trial and appeals court presentation I've seen in my life.
Yeah.
And they've joined forces to say, whether you're liberal or conservative, there is no argument to be made against gay marriage that isn't based in stereotypes, religion, or hate.
Listeners, anything on this? 212-433-WNYC. We have Dahlia Lithwick from Slate for another 10 minutes or so. You want to call in on this gay marriage federal court decision setting up Justice Kennedy, they hope, to not overturn it as the decisive vote on the 9-member Supreme Court. 212-433-WNYC. Lawyers can call in. Anyone else? 212-433-WNYC. 9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You called Stephen Reinhardt, Judge Reinhardt, maybe the most liberal man in America. So we get a presidential campaign issue out of this, I think, because here is what Newt Gingrich has already said about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals based in San Francisco.
I've been working on this project since 2002 when the Ninth Circuit Court said that one nation under God is unconstitutional in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I decided if you had judges who were so radically anti-American that they thought one nation under God was wrong, they shouldn't be on the court. Now, we have...
So Gingrich has talked about not only trying to impeach these judges, bring them before Congress for hearings, but even abolishing the Ninth Circuit as an institution. You've heard that, right?
Yes, I did. He has really run his campaign against the Ninth Circuit from the get-go.
So Newt Gingrich has some new juice just after Rick Santorum won three states yesterday, and he barely showed at all. But do you think there's any – what if he did become president? What power would he have actually over the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, this liberal panel in California?
One of the things that a lot of court watchers have speculated is how you go about doing away with the Ninth Circuit. Do you just build a different Ninth Circuit? Do you just put different states in it? In other words, it's not clear the mechanics of how you abolish an entire court, although I should say in fairness, there have been pretty partisan political efforts afoot to split the Ninth Circuit along, you know, ideological lines for a long, long time. But I do think it goes to the point that, and on this, Gingrich is by no means the only GOP nominee who's running against the courts. Santorum made the same kinds of comments. So did Michelle Bachmann. So did Rick Perry. So I think that this is this just old GOP hobby horse that, you know, liberal activist judges who are elite and out of touch are destroying America. We've been hearing this, you know, since Nixon. And I think it's a talking point that does work enormously well. It works less well if you think about the fact that the Supreme Court has certainly enshrined the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment, created campaign speech as a protected form of First Amendment speech in Citizens United. So it's very, very tough to run against liberal activist judges if you only mean that you don't like judges who come up with liberal outcomes. When judges strike down acts of Congress that you didn't like, well, then they're just good judges. So I think slowly, slowly, we're starting to see that while it's a very interesting talking point, it doesn't have a lot of legs.
So as one Dahlia to another, Dahlia in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
You?
Or did you just use that name for our screener to get noticed?
No, it really is. I spell it like the flower, Dahlia Lopez Ramsey.
Hey.
Actually, that's part of what piqued my interest in the program.
Good. So what do you want to say to the other Dahlia?
Well, I just wanted to really echo and thank your point, Dahlia's point, about that there was no arguments that against same-sex marriage that weren't based in stereotypes, religion, or just plain hate. You're very well-spoken and educated, Dahlia, and I don't know everything up and down, like kind of the Court of Appeals process and things. I'm trying to follow you, but that part I really understood and really agreed with, and thank you for being on the program today.
And thank you for being on the program today. So, Dahlia Lithwick, somebody else may hear all this and think, well, this isn't rooted in hate for me. This is rooted in my religious values and the values of the people in my state, whether that state is New Jersey, which may have a same-sex marriage referendum coming up, or whatever it is. And who is the Supreme Court to tell me, the Supreme Court, what is the, you know, judicial system of the federal government to tell me that our state can't do this?
Well, the Supreme Court is the court to tell you that you can't do that. It's very, very clear, and we see it in yesterday's dissenting opinion. Even the dissenting judge says, look, there is case law on the books, notably Romer versus Evans. This is a 1996 Colorado case about anti-gay legislation that comes down. Justice Kennedy writes an incredibly compelling opinion saying morality alone is not the basis from which you can discriminate against left groups. And the dissenter yesterday, Judge Smith, cites to Scalia's dissent in Roe, the losing position, saying, well, sure, you can use morality as a basis. But the other thing I just want to say to the other Dalia, and this is really important in this case, is that it looks as though, and there was always this scuttlebutt, that the lower court judge, the district court judge, who held a lengthy trial in this case, that he was just, and, you know, one of the problems was that he was gay and there was an attempt to take him off the case, which the court absolutely shot down yesterday. But he held a lengthy, lengthy trial where he tested each and every one of these theories, each idea proffered by the proponents of Prop 8 for why they had a legitimate basis for legislating against gay marriage. And he found 80 points of fact, 80, where he went through and detailed every single reason and decimated them. Mm. And Judge Reinhart yesterday, in his opinion, did the same thing, went through and said, look, give us your best reasons. We will look at them and determine if they're rooted in anti-gay animus. He went through and he said, not valid, not valid, not valid, not valid. So it's, if you're going to put forward arguments, you need to be able to shore them up. That was the failure in this case at trial. It was the failure again yesterday.
Manuel in North Bergen, you're on WNYC. Hello, Manuel.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear fine.
Yes. Yeah. Marriage has always been defined in history, a union of, between a man and a woman. And besides that, in gay marriage, it was something new that there's been certain groups have requested in the last few years, but they have all the rights of marriage by civil unions, and I don't think that's necessary. It's not like civil rights, like discrimination against racial discrimination, in my opinion. So I think in this debate there should be more than one view, and I think you should have a guest that can challenge the you know, the legality of this ruling.
Right. Well, we're doing legal analysis of the ruling. Dalia's not taking a side. But, Manuel, thank you very much. And I'm glad you brought up civil unions, because as we bring this to the New Jersey case, Dalia Corzine, as governor, enacted a measure in 2006 to allow civil unions after the New Jersey High Court ordered lawmakers to extend marital rights to same-sex couples. Now, that law is being challenged in court by Lambda Legal, the national advocacy group, that says civil unions do not provide marriages, benefits, and protections. So that's on the table in court in New Jersey right now. Is civil union the legal equivalent? Should it be seen as the legal equivalent of marriage, even without a gay marriage law per se, correct?
That's right. I mean, I think one of the answers is that there's a whole enormous amount of, under at least federal law, benefits that accrue to you if you are married that do not accrue to you under civil unions. And that's one of the cornerstones of the challenge to DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. So it is also, I think, important to point out that this strength of the civil unions laws in California was the very thing that Judge Reinhart found so indefensible. In other words, if you're going to give every single right but marriage, if the only thing that is sacred here is the word marriage, then you have to, I think, do better than just say that word marriage is so, you know, sparklingly beautiful that we can't apply it. In other words, if the arguments that you're going to advance to do away with gay marriage are already obviated by all the benefits you grant through civil unions, right? You're letting these couples raise children. You're letting them adopt. You're letting them inherit. You're letting them visit in the hospitals. Then it makes no sense to say the only thing we will withhold is that word marriage, because that really does look like it's rooted in what Manuel's describing, you know, hundreds of years of history, thousands of years of morality. And the law doesn't exist to enshrine what's always been just because it's always been.
So on Governor Christie's proposal of a same-sex marriage referendum, we're going to have the state Senate leader, Sweeney, on the program on Friday. He wants to pass a law and is hoping that Governor Christie will sign it if they get a majority in the New Jersey legislature that enables full same-sex marriage rights. But the governor wants to have a statewide referendum instead. I guess I take from the way you've described this ruling that there is nothing in it, even if it is upheld by the Supreme Court, that would stop New Jersey from going forth with a same-sex marriage referendum because there is not currently legal same-sex marriage in the state. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. I think that it's certainly, you know, that what Governor Christie is trying to do is say, look, I don't want to deal with this hot potato. Let's do it by way of referendum. And it certainly looks to me, looking at the opinion polls, that it may well pass, although none of these state referendums have ever worked in favor of gay marriage. But I think really the core question about sending this to referendum is the question that we started with, which is, are these civil rights issues up for grabs in a popular vote? And one of the things that was a problem for Chuck Cooper, who argued for Prop 8 at the appeals court, was when he was asked by the judges on the court, could we just put the question of resegregating the schools up to popular referendum? Can we just say, hey, let's go back to having black schools and white schools? Even Chuck Cooper couldn't concede that. So I think there is this predicate idea that some issues of human civil rights and civil liberties don't go to a popular vote, that in fact that is why we have a judicial branch.
So if there was a backlash in New Jersey that led to a referendum on the ballot to undo even the civil union status that exists now, that might be illegal under this ruling.
It certainly could be. And I think one of the things that we're going to see going forward, and this is the law of unanticipated consequences, is that one of the things that is noteworthy about California is that it's very dangerous to have a law that makes gay marriage okay for a while and makes it not okay for a while.
Yeah.
I suspect we're going to see states all over the country advancing the argument that we can't do anything that's going to make this legal and then make it illegal without running afoul of the Equal Protection Clause. And so that may create a whole set of incentives that really go against the interests of folks who want to have gay marriage.
Dahlia Lithwick covers the legal system for Slate.com. Dahlia, thank you as always.
Thank you, Brian.
And we will have Senator Sweeney on Friday's program to talk about this in the New Jersey context. Coming up next, how five cold warriors, including Henry Kissinger, are now out to ban the bomb. And then we will listen to and discuss that Clint Eastwood Super Bowl ad that has launched such a political debate in this country with Frank Rich and your calls. Stay with us.